you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be mainly looking at these verses here that I have on the screen, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, or 7 through 12, I should say, Matthew 7, beginning with verse 7. And I'll read those verses. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." I'd like for us to mainly think this morning about the things that are said there in verse 12, but looking at the context and helping to understand just what Jesus is teaching here. But when we look at verse 12, we do find what we know as the golden rule. And this is the verse here where he tells us that, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So he points out that this is a very important principle. It is founded in the Old Testament. It is a summation, we might say, of the essence of what the Old Testament is teaching, the law and the prophets, and so therefore it is from God. It is of great value and great importance. And in some ways we might say it's a way of summarizing and simplifying the teachings of God into a principle that we can really take and apply in our life. At the same time, we understand that this is a principle that isn't always practiced, even by us, that it's easy for us to fall short when it comes to this. We all have a tendency to live for ourselves, even though we know from Scripture that God teaches us to put others before ourselves. But we have that human desires and human concerns that we oftentimes fail in that area, and I'm certainly guilty of that. But nevertheless, we see here that this is what has come to be known as the golden rule, and that is telling us that even men in our society have recognized this as the greatest or the highest level of standard to live by of any philosopher or teacher that has ever lived. And so it's an honor to Jesus in that sense that his teaching here has been accepted and used and honored in that sense by the entire world. And there is hardly a person, I think, that would not know and be familiar to some extent that the golden rule, what it means is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We find that in Luke 6 and verse 31, in the parallel account here of Matthew, that Jesus said, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." Now, Rabbi Hillel, who was a great Jewish teacher of the first century. Actually, I guess he lived maybe a little before the time of Jesus, but was well known during the days of Jesus. But he was asked the question what the great commandment was, or if he could sum it up in one thing. And he said, "What is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow creatures." So in some ways that's similar, but it is more of the negative side to what Jesus is saying. And And it is more, I think, how many of us approach relations with other people is, I will not do any harm to you if you will not do any harm to me. And that's not what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is turning this around in a positive way for us. Whatever you want men to do to you, then you take the first step and you do that with them. You practice that. And so it is higher. That is, I think, why it is known as the Golden Rule. And just how it came to be known as the Golden Rule, I'm not sure. I haven't been able to find the answer to that. But for hundreds of years, it's been acknowledged this way. And so we recognize when we say the gold standard, or this is solid gold, that it is a way of saying the best, the finest, the highest level of teaching that the world has known is summed up here by Jesus. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. As we look at Matthew 7, the context is important. Jesus is coming to the close of the Sermon on the Mount here. And to appreciate what Jesus says here about the Golden Rule, it is important for us to take that in the context of everything else that Jesus was teaching here. Otherwise, we might come to a misunderstanding of how the promise that Jesus is making and how it applies to us. So as we look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 through 7, we understand that Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And he is talking about spiritual matters and salvation, and he is comparing the Old Testament and how it had been taught and mistaught by many of the Jewish leaders. In Matthew chapter 5, he talked a lot about, you have heard that it was said, but I say unto you, and he quotes from, goes through a number of the Ten Commandments that way. And shows that the law itself actually did teach the inner motives and the inner thoughts that many of the people overlooked. And it was part of the law that God gave. He went on to talk about the fact that when you stand in the street corner to pray, do not pray to be seen of men. And when you give your alms, do not give your alms to be seen of men. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 through 15, and again in Matthew 6 verses 25 through 33, we get to some of the heart of what Jesus was really teaching in the Sermon on the Mount. And I will get to that in a moment. But I was going to point out here that in the immediate context of Matthew chapter 7, the first six verses, Jesus is in effect saying how not to treat others. And he talks about the fact, do not be judging one another in a critical way with each other. And when you judge others, first look at the beam in your own eye, and then remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. So do not judge others differently than you judge yourself. Don't set yourself to one standard and then go around judging other people by an entirely different standard. That's not right. And so do not treat people that way. But then in verses 7 through 12, he teaches us how to act toward others. And that is in a loving way. So it's a beautiful context here that Jesus is speaking of and talking about how God answers our prayers. God promises to answer our prayers, and that he challenges us then on the basis of that, I believe, to live by the Golden Rule. So he doesn't just bring this up out of nowhere. He bases it upon everything else that he is teaching about the way of life that we are to live as God's children as part of the kingdom of God. So he begins to give a golden promise here in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 7, when he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." These are wonderful words that Jesus gives here to us as an encouragement to us to pray. And that God wants to give us blessings. He wants to bless us. He encourages us to come to Him with our needs, to ask and to seek and to knock. And He assures us that everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. But this is given, as I say, in the context of the kingdom of God that Jesus is speaking of. So it doesn't encourage us here to just pray for earthly things that we might otherwise desire in some way, but he is speaking about the life of a Christian and the life of being a disciple as part of the kingdom of God that he has been speaking to these people about. And in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, he talks to us about how to pray. He said, "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." But he went on to say, "For if you forgive their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." And we see that Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount talks a great deal about the fact that God deals with us as we deal with Him. That as we are praying, God expects of us to forgive our neighbor or our brother if they have sinned against us and trespassed. But he says, forgive them as you want to be forgiven. So God deals with us in terms of prayer as we deal with others. And I think that is significant here with what we read in Matthew chapter 7. Where he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." We also find that a little later in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks here about the fact that do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. For after all of these things the Gentiles seek, but your Father in heaven knows what things you have need of. And he provides those for us. He went on to say in verse 33, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Well, taken in that context, I believe we can see that when Jesus comes down here to Matthew chapter 7, and he's saying, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find," he's talking here about seeking God and seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and therefore knock and it will be open to you, but seeking the desires that God has for us that are in store because of his promises here relating to the kingdom of God. Jesus is assuring us that when we seek him and we ask him in accordance with these things that God has in store for us, that God will give those to us. He promises and encourages us to come to him and to do so in a way that will bring forth this highest blessings that God has for us in His kingdom. So first, seek God and ask for His righteous desires for us, and then look toward others and live out the golden rule. Jesus recognizes here that we may not be able to live by the golden rule successfully otherwise, other than the fact that God is our loving Father that has invites us to come to Him, ask and you will find, seek and you will find, knock and it will be open to you. So God gives us an encouragement and a promise here regarding His willingness to bless us and to through our prayer. Now He says, ask persistently in our prayers. So ask, seek, and knock. There is a continuation that we have when we pray to God. We have a relationship that we depend upon God and we come to Him on a regular basis, seeking those things that can help us to be faithful to Him and to honor and glorify Him. Ask God. Seek God in His righteousness. Knock on His door, and God will give us those things that are according to His will as we serve Him in His kingdom. Everyone who asks this way, He says, will receive. But again, He has predicated some of these things that if someone has trespassed against you, forgive, and God will forgive us as we forgive our brother. So there's a part that we play in that answer to prayer and the way that God deals with us. But it teaches us to be dependent upon God, that we go to God for the strength that we need in order to serve Him. We have here in America the Declaration of Independence, but this is really a declaration of dependence that Jesus teaches us. We need to be dependent upon God and look to Him, because that is how we are going to be able to live the life that glorifies God and that sets us apart as being a light unto the world. He talks in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That happens when we place our dependence upon God. When we ask and we seek and we knock. So there's a persistence there that when we have that dependent attitude upon God, we can go to Him for help and for strength. And sometimes we fail to do that in our lives. We get busy with other things that are more urgent in our lives. We don't spend enough time in prayer with God. Well, oftentimes that is going to affect how well we are able to live by the golden rule and do unto others as we would have others to do unto us. But Jesus gives us here an encouragement to ask God in prayer. He encourages us to ask for God's help. He says, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? And it implies that a father here on earth, earthly parents, want to give good things to their children. And sometimes as a result of that, even we do not grant the wish that our child would have. But we would not give them something harmful to them. We desire to give them good things. For example, if a father is asked by his teenage son, maybe he wants a new Harley motorcycle or something, a father might say, well, no, you're not ready for that. That's too dangerous. So many times we do not grant a request that a child asks because we know that's not going to be good for them. They're not ready for it, or it would not be beneficial. God is the same He's pointing that out to us. We as parents want to give our children good things, but he says here that even we as parents, we are not like God. God is far more willing to do this than we are. We give them what they need in our judgment. What we are able to, as parents, see that our child needs, we give them that to the best of our ability. So he says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So if a child asks for bread, you're not going to give him a stone. And if he asks for a fish, you will not give him a serpent. He recognizes the fact, though, that we are evil. We are sinful people. And the kingdom of God is being given to us for that reason. Jesus has come down from heaven to die for our sins. And therefore, it is through Jesus Christ that we are able to become righteous in the sight of God. And that's what the kingdom of God is about. In order for us to have a righteousness before God, Jesus had to come and give his life for us. But there is a great encouragement being given to us here as children of God, to come to God and ask him for his help. If we as parents are willing to give good things to our children, then so much more will God give his children good things that ask him. It's interesting, in Luke he says, well, this father who is evil says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So he's definitely talking about spiritual blessings here that God has in mind to give his children. It's not as some today might have that concept out in the religious world that if we are Christians, we can ask God and God is going to give us any type of earthly prosperity that we would have. We're going to actually become healthy and wealthy and prosperous in terms of this world. But that is not the thing that Jesus is teaching at all here in the Sermon on the Mount. The good things that he has in mind for us are spiritual blessings in nature. It is true that he says in the Sermon on the Mount that do not worry about your food and your clothing and your shelter and those earthly things. Seek first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added to you. So God does supply our physical needs and blesses us in those things. But he has in mind to give us far greater blessings and to become righteous and to love our neighbor and to care and even to forgive our enemies, as he talks about in Matthew chapter 5. So we come now then to the golden rule that he speaks of here in Matthew 7 and verse 12. Frequently called the golden rule, it's not referred to that as in the scripture itself, but men have referred to it this way. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now we see the connection. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This, I believe, shows that it is directly connected back to what he is speaking of here in the preceding verses, that the fact that God invites us to come to him to answer our prayer, to give us those good things that he has in mind. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Here is where I believe we see the higher standard that Jesus is showing for us to live by. It is because of what God has done for us as a loving Father that we are able to live in a way that whatever we would men do to us, we go ahead and do that in our lives in the way that we relate to them and treat them. As I said before, the problem that we all have is that we want to live for ourselves. And we want to think of ourselves and our own needs. And sometimes we might look at the golden rule as a way that if I do good to another person, that's how they're going to come back and do good to me. So we can use it as a manipulation, or if I will do something nice to this person, then they will come back and do something nice for us. I don't believe that that is what Jesus is teaching. This is an entirely unselfish way of life that Jesus wants us to live by. Just as God in heaven, as our loving Father, gave His own Son for us when we are undeserving. He sent His Son down to die for us. He wants us to live by that type of principle in our lives. So it's not that we do good to others and expect that they will therefore in return do good for us. It is God has done good for us. He has saved us. And therefore we are to practice a higher level of life in our dealings with those around us. This is a problem in a marriage relationship. If we have that attitude of, I will do for you if you will do for me. And if we think that the golden rule is meant to do that, then sometimes we end up getting angry with each other because we think, if I will do for you something nice, then I expect you to do something nice for me. And if you don't, then I'm going to be angry with you. Can lead to a lot of conflict in a marriage relationship if we try to approach our marriages that way. God, of course, teaches us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for us. So it's a completely sacrificial type of love that God teaches for us to have. The solution that Jesus is teaching is, because God meets our needs, that frees us to live by a way of life where I first ask myself, what would I want? How would I want to be treated? That's how I'm going to treat others. I'm going to always treat others in the way that I would want to be treated. We don't do unto others so they will do unto us. We do unto others what is right because that is how God has already lovingly dealt with us. He has given freely to us when we are undeserving. He has provided salvation and spiritual blessings beyond measure. Therefore, He is asking us to live in the world with others by that same way of life. Therefore, whatever you would have men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. So our motivation is from God. Our motivation to live the Christian life and to live by the golden rule comes from God Himself and from the blessings that we have received from Him. God is a loving Father who invites us to approach His throne and to receive His blessings of grace in the kingdom of God. And as we do that, we can be confident that He will give us what we need. So our needs will be supplied in life. God is our loving Father who is providing those needs for us. Now go and give others what they need. Live in a way that you reach out to others and bless them in accordance to the way God has blessed us. So God's love motivates our love for others. That's how it should work in our lives. We don't give to others what they deserve, but what we would want to receive. We can see how sometimes we live by that standard. Don't give others what they deserve. Or sometimes we might think, I will give others in return what they have done to me. But Jesus has an entirely different way of life for us in mind. And so he says here, this is the law and the prophets. Now, the very heart of the law of Moses is summed up in this principle to love your neighbor as yourself. In Leviticus 19 and verse 18, Jesus himself said that this is the second great commandment. The first commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. But the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. God's law in the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, not only dealt with our relationship with God, but our relationship with our fellow man. The second half of the Ten Commandments dealt with this. To honor your father and mother, to thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, and thou shalt not covet. God has increased this for us through the giving of his own Son. When we compare the Old Testament and the New Testament, the thing that is superior about the New Testament is certainly the fact that here we find that God has given us his own Son to die for our sins. We don't find that in the Old Testament, only in promise. But in the New Testament, we see that reality has been fulfilled. So this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you would have men do to you, do also to them. Look what God has done for us through the cross, through the giving of his Son for us. Now that tells us the type of life that we need to live in our treatment of others. He tells us to ask of him and expect to receive, and therefore he will give good gifts to his children when we ask. Now do the same. And through this, we can have a great impact on the world. Think how the world would be different if everyone truly lived by the Sermon on the Mount. If they lived by the golden rule. If everyone practiced this on a daily basis, how different the world would be. It would transform our society, truly. And so Jesus summed up the law and the prophets in a way here that is practical, a way that is one that we can all learn from and apply in our lives. This morning, as we come to the close of the lesson, we want to extend the invitation of the gospel to everyone who is here. Jesus gave his life for us, and there is an obedience to the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that does not believe will be condemned. This morning we extend to you that same invitation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that if there is one today here subject to the need for forgiveness of sins, we invite you to come to Jesus, come to where he is offering this salvation based upon what his sacrifice has accomplished for us. We pray these things. We invite you to come in Jesus as we stand together and as we sing.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, come to me, I am.